The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Joining us today, we'll have Ward McCarthy of Jefferies in just a few moments. First, though, we want to go to our reporter in Atlanta, that beautiful Peachtree Street. We have Steve Matthews on the line. He is the purveyor of all things Federal Reserve.
Hi there.
Hi, Steve. Good to have you on. So, Steve, it looks like we might be going into a little bit of a quiet period before the next meeting, but there's always something to chew on when it comes to Federal Reserve.
The consensus of Fed watchers seems to be that next week's meeting is going to be, very little different. I mean, that you'll just continue their $85 billion a month in so-called quantitative easing, their asset purchases of mortgage-backed securities and treasury bonds. And that there are a couple of dynamics that have changed since the last meeting. One, the recent economic data has been somewhat softer. Retail sales down. Jobs the weakest in 9 months. And the second part being that the inflation numbers have come in on the low side. The Fed doesn't track the CPI so much as the personal consumption expenditures, which is a little bit of an arcane inflation index. But that index shows inflation at 1.3%, which is below their 2% target. And because it is so low, you even have had some Fed officials, such as the hawkish ones, particularly Jeff Lacker, Jim Bullard, and others, say that they would even consider some more stimulus if things got lower on the inflation side.
Well, in fact, here is where I'll bring in Ward McCarthy. He's chief financial economist at Jefferies. That was the subject of his most recent report. In fact, disinflation is becoming the watchword as opposed to inflation, Ward, right?
Well, that's right, Vonnie. You know, we have gone through a prolonged period of time here where the Fed has been unable to meet either of the objectives of its dual mandate, you know, and with the unemployment rate still pretty lofty. Some of the Fed officials have now become concerned that inflation is been strained too far below what their target is. And one of the more compelling arguments for that was provided last week with the CPI data, where the CPI decelerated from 2% to 1.5%. But most striking, the commodity components of the CPI registered zero inflation over the past year. So from a commodity perspective, you really cannot be closer to outright deflation than what we saw in last week's CPI.
And I'll come back to that in a second, Ward. I just want to give listeners a headline. Exxon is boosting its quarterly dividend. It's just coming out with that now to 63 cents a share from 57 cents a share. So that's a 9-cent boost on the part of Exxon. And I'm just going to check what the stock is doing right now. Exxon Mobil up 0.6%, 56 cents to 89.86. Steve, about that, we're not seeing commodities registering much inflation. We've seen a big drop in terms of commodities. So is that giving the Federal Reserve sort of leeway to keep doing what it's doing and ignore the naysayers?
Well, it is to a certain extent. They're not particularly focused on commodities per se, but on how commodity prices filter into inflation and core inflation. And there is an impact. I mean, when oil prices are coming down, gasoline prices are coming down, and even these energy and food prices that are measured in the so-called headline inflation, they ultimately have an effect on core prices. So they do monitor it, and on the margin, that's something that again gives them comfort in providing more stimulus. And if prices go down enough, if we have disinflation, might put the option of additional stimulus on the table. I'm interested in what Ward thinks about that, is if that's an option or not.
Ward?
Well, I don't think it's an option next week. I think St. Louis Fed President Bullard was right. He said that he's not worried about deflation yet, but he said he's got an eye on it. And I don't think we are in a deflation environment now. So I don't think that the the Fed will respond. But I do think there could be some tinkering with some of the language in next week's policy statement to draw attention to the fact that the Fed is keeping an eye on this. Most of the policy statements over the past several months have focused almost very heavily on the labor markets, and that's because inflation was contained. Now that inflation is showing at least some signs of becoming a little bit of a concern, I suspect that they'll change the language a little bit just to alert the markets to the fact that they've got their eye on that too.
At what point does a disinflation concern become a deflation concern, though, Ward?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Ronnie. You know, I don't think there are any textbook answers to that. 1.3% on the PCE deflator is further below target than they haven't expressed a willingness to accept above target. The Fed has been saying that were inflation to accelerate while the unemployment rate is still too high, they'd be willing to accept it as much as half a percentage point over what their inflation forecast is. So actual inflation is more than a half a percentage point below what their target is.
Ward, you were just explaining at what point deflation is, you know, a product of disinflation. So at the moment you're saying we're seeing a disinflationary environment that could tip into deflation at some point. Is that true?
Well, that's what the Fed is worried about. I mean, throughout this recovery, you know, or the recovery from the recession, the U.S. has gone through a number of little mini inflation cycles where the inflation rate accelerated for a period of time and then it decelerated it for a period of time. And these little mini cycles have been driven primarily by commodity prices, with gasoline prices playing an especially important role. So, for example, we have seen on a national level the price of regular gasoline approach $4 per gallon several times over the last 4 or 5 years. And every time that happens, and this has happened again in 2013, consumer spending sort of backs off and slows down. And when this happens, gas prices also retreat. And, of course, that has happened over the last 6 weeks or so and had a lot to do with why the CPI, for example, was so weak last week. So while we repeat these cycles, what I think some Fed officials are worried about is that with overall inflation running so low, if one of these little disinflation cycles were to become somewhat accentuated, then we could have be in a situation where disinflation could devolve into outright deflation.
Steve, if I could ask you here at this point, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke has said, though, that he's not worried about commodity prices or what they do because they don't feed into any of these statistics. Longer term, I should say.
Yes, I mean, that's his view that, commodity prices is something you watch, but it's really not a big factor, and that what drives inflation is the Fed and the money supply and the Fed's explicit targeting. They believe they have a good control on it and can manage it, and we'll certainly see if they're correct or not.
Steve, I just want to ask you as well, we got the news this week that Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke wouldn't be speaking at Jackson Hole. Normally, you know, the cancellation of a speech is not a huge deal when it comes to the Fed Chairman, but this particular speech has overtones, doesn't it?
Well, some people have read into this, and Bernanke said that he won't be there because of a personal scheduling conflict, and Jackson Hole occurs in late August. We're now in April, so, you know, he hasn't said exactly what it would be, what it is, a personal scheduling conflict. It would have to be something that it would have been arranged, you know, 4 or 5 months in advance to be a conflict. So some people have read into this that maybe he doesn't want to be there because he doesn't want to have a situation such as Greenspan had in his final year at Jackson Hole, when he received a huge amount of adulation, and they called him the greatest central banker ever. I think that was Alan Blinders, or perhaps the greatest central banker ever, which may have been somewhat regrettable language, since that was just before the financial crisis happened. But
But what, Ward, I mean, is that true? And I mean, it's August, as Steve said, so therefore the second half of the year when some people think that purchases might start to wind down. I mean, is the timing sort of particularly, sensitive here?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, as Steve said, he said it's a personal conflict. So it's possible that there's a family wedding or something along those lines. And frankly, I would not be inclined to read too much into it. And I would certainly, at this early date, read no implications whatsoever for monetary policy.
I don't think that we're saying that it might not be true or anything. I'm just saying that the Jackson Hole speech has taken on sort of significance over a few years, because a couple of years ago it was basically when QE was announced, wasn't it? That was the big speech.
Well, I mean, yes, there are times when the chairman's appearance at Jackson Hole has been extremely important, and there have been times when it, you know, has not been so important. But, you know, the bottom line is that Jackson Hole or not, Bernanke is going to continue to pursue whatever monetary policy he and his colleagues think is correct. So I think that some of the recent speculation really has been much ado about nothing.
And an interesting point is that this occurs in August, and even if this is his final year of the term, you're probably not going to get that announcement until after August, because President Obama probably wouldn't appoint a new Fed chairman until sometime in the fall.
Steve, our reporter in Atlanta who follows the Fed, Steve Matthews, what's the most recent chatter about whether Bernanke will in fact go or whether he'll be asked to stay for another term?
Well, when he was asked about that at the last press conference, he basically said that he had had a conversation with the president. He wouldn't describe what that conversation was. And then when there was a follow-up by a Bloomberg reporter, he said that somebody else could handle the exit, that he didn't feel like it was all up to him. So some people read into those answers that at least he might be inclined not to come back.
Ward?
Well, I think that, you know, he has served us all very well. I'm sure it's been an exhausting tenure, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he decides to leave. I should also say that there are some signs that the baton is already being passed, perhaps to Janet Yellen, because some of the ways that the Fed is implementing policy these days really seems to have a Yellen influence, especially the fact that we have an open-ended QE, for example. So, you know, if he were to leave, the Fed would still be left in very capable hands. And I don't know whether or not he's made that decision or not, but it would not surprise me.
And while there's not been an announcement, Janet Yellen would be the logical choice at Jackson Hole for the Bernanke spot.
That's right.
That's true. She could be giving the, in fact, yes, because it could be the passing of the baton in a bit of a symbolic moment. Steve, another question for Ward, if you have one.
Yes, there's been a lot of talk about slowing of the asset purchases, so-called quantitative easing. When do you think that becomes on the table again? What's your outlook for that?
Well, my outlook, frankly, is that they start tapering, which seems to be the expression that has been embraced, early in 2014. Bernanke had set a pretty high bar as far as beginning to implement the tapering in terms of economic performance. And, of course, now we have this added issue related to inflation. So we heard a lot of discussion earlier in the year about the timing of tapering. That has quieted down somewhat. So I think that some of the more recent developments, the slowdown in the economy, some of the, you know, somewhat disquieting inflation data, has taken that off the table for now. I think that we'll probably start to revisit the issue, maybe like in September. But I think the Fed will go through at least most, if not all, of the year at the current purchase pace of $85 billion per month, but start to take it down once we get into 2014.
Ward, since the last meeting, we've had the Bank of Japan engage in liquidity measures, inject liquidity into the economy, and now it looks like we may even get a European rate cut. It seems like more and more analysts are looking for that. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but would that have any impact on the Fed's thinking in terms of the U.S. economy?
Well, because all of these policies fit together, and what happens in the U.S. Does have effects in other countries, and I think it's quite certain that what the BOJ is doing is going to have an effect in the U.S., and I think it's already had an effect in the U.S. bond market. The answer is yes. You know, they'll certainly want to take a look and see how the economies and how the financial markets respond to the steps that we know are being taken by the BOJ and might be taken by the ECB.
How has it affected the U.S. bond market?
Well, we certainly had a pretty nice rally in treasuries, and some of that appeared, at least based on my experience, to be Japanese investors who were looking at U.S. yields as being relatively attractive, and that had a lot to do with the rally.
All right. And Steve, what should we keep an eye out for now? Between now, we're going into the quiet period. We have another just a couple of days. Do we have any Fed speakers coming up?
There are no Fed speakers essentially until after the next FOMC meeting, and with the statement, you should really, you know, there's an expectation that there's going to be no change in policy, and you'll be looking at particularly the description of the economy and how they view the economy and inflation. I think that would probably be the key points. I'd be interested in whether Ward agrees with that.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I also like to get back to a point Steve made earlier, and that is the Fed kind of tells us a mixed story as far as what they look at on inflation. They target the headline PCE deflator. Yet you will often hear policymakers speak on the inflation front as if they put more weight on the core PCE deflator. So they've created a little bit of confusion, at least in my mind, in terms of how they view these two inflation indicators and their interrelationship.
Well, we'll keep an eye out at the next meeting and in the next statement for any indications of changing in thinking or any clarification on that. Not that we're likely to get it. I thank you both, gentlemen.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.